So our message is rest, and we're looking to realize that we talked last week about labor. Now, this is one of those teacher questions and stuff. When we talk about labor, what are we supposed to be laboring for? Who remembers that? Hopefully somebody remembers. Yeah, we're laboring for Christ, right? That's what we're supposed to labor for, right? And yes, we do have to work to earn a living. I'm not denying that, as we should do that. That's our responsibility as an individual, you know, within the community to be able to do our laborious works, you know, working for an individual or having our own business and providing a service for somebody. That's labor. Yeah, I understand. That's what we all look at labor. But from a Christian perspective, our major labor that we're supposed to be doing is to major labor for Christ. Because the things that we do for Christ are the things that last for eternity. The things we do just in this world, that stuff fades, it rots, it breaks down. It might last, you know, a couple hundred years, but just look at the Roman Empire and all those pillars and the buildings that they had. What's standing now? You know, there's hardly anything there. You can see a remnants of it, but it's not there. That's laboring for the world. We're looking at, however, that because last week was Labor Day, this week here we're looking at something that's different, but yet you're going to find somewhat the same, is called rest. And so we always like that aspect of being able to be at rest, and some people put it as be at peace is what we're looking for. So I want to share some scriptures, some Old Testament. We're going to be moving into the New Testament, but a reflection really of both as we get in through here. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his." Now, we're looking at this, and I'm going to actually show this as the last slide as well. But hopefully, by the time we get done through the scripture verses I'm going to go through, I'm hoping you're going to get a different perspective of what this verse is saying. So, right to begin with, we look at this. For anyone who enters God's rest, all right, this is exactly what we want to do. We want to be able to go into God's rest, into His fold, His kingdom, and then we are to find rest in there. Because it says right there that we get to rest from His own work, just as God did from His. Now, what kind of work did God do that this might be talking about in terms of entering His rest? What's that, Pete? Yeah, it's true. But right in the very beginning, what was the big thing that He did in 6 days? He created the world, right? And on the seventh day, He rested from the work that He was doing. It was complete, right? And that's why we use number seven as a symbol of completion, as a sense that God created the world in 6 days, and in the seventh day, He rested. So we look at that and we say, well, we work 6 days and we rest on the seventh, right? And we keep that seventh day is, you know, holy, because that's kind of like on the Sabbath. Where do we even get that from, that we should keep the seventh day holy?
Yeah.
From the what? It isn't from Deuteronomy. You're just looking on the sheet because you know that's the next slide that's on there, Armando. But where is it? It's number 4 of the 10 commandments. Yeah, so I'm going to throw that one up there, and you're going to see that we are to actually rest, right? It says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12, 15, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates." So the alien would be foreigners. Okay, so it would be the people from out of the Israelite community living with you. So that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. That's where that comes from. Sabbath day is a holy day. Now, during the Jewish custom, in their tradition, Saturday would have been the Sabbath day because Sunday would have been the first day of the week. We tend to treat Monday as the first day of the week because it's the first work day. And either way, it doesn't really matter. But you can understand that you work 6 days, you labor 6 days, and then you don't work at all. So when we go back to that previous verse in Hebrews chapter 4, where it says that, you know, that you shall rest from your work, just as God rests from His work, we can understand that, right? No work is to be done. It's like, isn't that the place to be? You mean I'm not going to get sore from lifting all those bricks as a mason and, you know, carrying them up on the mountain, or you know, being a, you know, a person that's doing major work or even emotional work and stuff? I can just take a break from that completely? Monty and I know, both know, as teachers, that that's a lot of work to be a teacher. Right? You're just constantly on the go, and you've got kids coming in, or you've got a plan, and then you've got to deal with, you know, just, it's a constant thing that's going on. That's a lot of labor, being a teacher. Right? And I know other professions, you know, engineers and stuff, they labor, they work hard. And it would just be so nice to have that rest. So that's why we become Christians, so that we don't have to work. Well, that's what Scripture's saying. Yeah, some of you are shaking heads, and others are like, this doesn't really make sense, because I'm not sure where he's going with this sort of thing. So let's just look at this. I'm going to tell you right now that this is the way the world looks at things, all right? Labor does not equal rest. We can understand that, right? When we're working hard, you know, and the county people are paving the road, they're working. When they get done with the end of the day, they can rest, and they're not working. So the two of them are not the same. They're completely, I don't want to say opposites, but they're really different from one another, from the world and everything. And we can look at that. So let's look at some more, and I want you to be thinking, you know, along the lines of that, as we see this here. There was a time when, after the Israelites had gone through and conquered the Promised Land. That's going into the Promised Land. The first place they took over was Jericho. And then they took over many other cities. And they kind of annihilated a lot of nations and stuff. Not pleasing to what we would call as humans. Obviously they're saying, oh, God made us kill a lot of people. But what God did was He punished those nations because of their evilness that was inside of them. And He just used the Israelites to do that. Now, the Israelites were not perfect, but they went through all the Promised Land, and God said, and I call it the Promised Land, because God promised Abraham that He was going to give them this land, and it took generations to be able to get there. And so they had entered the Promised Land, took over this land that God said was going to be yours, and God gave it to them. Once they basically cleaned out that land, this is where we are, all right? So there was some tribes that left their people back at the beginning of where they started to enter the Promised Land, but the fighting men went with the rest of the crew to clean out the rest of the Promised Land. So let's look at that. That's just the background, right? So in Joshua 22, 1 through 5 says this, then Joshua summoned the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, you have done all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and you have obeyed me in everything I commanded. For a long time now, to this very day, you have not deserted your brothers, but have carried out the mission the Lord your God gave you. And that was to go out and clear the land. Right? This will be very clear about that. And so these people sacrificed their time to help their brothers, which is like the other tribes. That, you know, there's 12 tribes of Israel. And each tribe helped each other clear the land. He says, now that the Lord your God has given your brothers rest, as He promised, return to your homes in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. on the other side of the Jordan. Right? So when they say rest, right, they are done conquering the land. Now you can go back to that land and you can just rest. Does that mean not work? Does that mean just sit there under the palm trees and the oasis that you're going to find and the water from the oasis, which is nice, sweet, and clear and clean and refreshing, is going to automatically just enter your cup as you're sitting there underneath this umbrella and you're on this bench, you get the picture? It does sound good. It does sound good, but you see, God says you can now enter the rest. You know, enter your rest, right? That He's promised. But look what He says as you go into that rest. But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to obey His commands, to hold fast to Him and serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. Now, Charlie, what are we supposed to labor for?
To do the work of the Lord that He's given on out to.
Yeah.
To spread His truth.
Yeah. So when God told these people, God's people, after you're done conquering the promised land, I'm going to give you rest, and in that rest, you are going to labor for me. By worshiping me, by keeping my commands, and by giving your wholeness, right? Your all of your strength and all of your soul and everything you've got and all your heart to the Lord. This is what God expects from us in His rest. So, which is kind of neat, because there was a time too where David, King David, had been king of Israel, had conquered many, many nations and the Philistines over and over again. And again, David wasn't a perfect individual, but he did have a heart for the Lord, a very strong heart. And one of the things David wanted to do was to build a temple for God to dwell in, so that God could be right there in amongst the people. No longer in a moving thing, such as what they would call the Ark of the Covenant, where it can be moved from point A to point B and stuff, but of a ground-based home for God to reside in the center of, or at least in the culminating place of where the Israelites would come together. But you know what? God said no to David. And He did not want David to build that temple because of David's hands had been stained with the blood of the people around. He wanted someone to build the temple that didn't have that blood stain on his hands, which ended up being his son Solomon. All right, so we get that picture of where we're at here, right? So let's look at this section here in the next verse we've got in 1 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. When Hiram, king of Tyre, heard that Solomon had been anointed king to succeed his father David, he sent his envoys to Solomon because he had always been on friendly terms with David. Solomon sent back this message to Hiram. So again, there's alliances. Sometimes you want to maintain when there's a change of power. You got to be careful that you don't offend the new king and stuff like that. And I think that's what Hiram's intent is. But this is what Solomon said. You know that because of the wars raged against my father David from all sides, he could not build a temple for the name of the Lord his God until the Lord puts his enemies under his feet. But now that the Lord God has given me rest on every side, which means you're not going to have the enemy coming upon you, that there isn't going to have to be bloodshed, right? That there isn't confrontation, that now we can go about our business and just without fear. And I'm adding that stuff in there to give you the idea of it. And there is no adversary or disaster. I intend, therefore, to build the temple for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord told my father David when he said, your son, whom I put on the throne, who I will put on the throne in your place, will build the temple for my name. So when we are at rest from our adversaries, from our enemies, what are we supposed to labor to do? Well, in this case here, build a temple for him. So where is our temple that God is going to be residing? Yeah, in our hearts. We are God's temple. God has given us rest. We have a constitution that allows us to worship freely without persecution. We have no hindrance to labor for God to be in our hearts today. And this is what God wants us to do in our rest, is to do what He wants us to do, to allow God to be in us, which means He becomes our guide, He becomes our counselor, He becomes our conscience, He becomes the thing that we judge everything to, because He is righteous. He is truthful. He is everything that is just. That's what we have. So that when we understand that, then we have a psalmist, David, who says words like this in Psalm 62, 1 through 2. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Now, did David have a fortress? Of course he did. He had a wall all around Jerusalem. Was he able to fight enemies and stuff? Of course he did. Did he have adversaries come in and attack him? Of course he did. But in amongst all of that, his only true fortress that he had was God Himself. And I think that's important to know. Because even though David had those physical things to protect his physical body, he had God as his ultimate fortress, knowing that even if his life went down, he was still going to be with God for eternity. That's why we need to be looking at this sort of thing in terms of what is our rest. So, in Galatians, we're going to be looking at this, and this is basically the gospel, as we've got in here, that Paul is speaking about. And I want you to think about the rest that we can have in terms of what's important here. Galatians 4, 3 through 7. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. So, think about the Israelites physically going into the promised land and God giving them rest. Giving them the inheritance that He promised. The physical stuff. Right? So God's going to give me some land and I'm going to have some physical stuff that I can rest upon and stuff. Much of the New Testament speaks spiritually. And what we have here is knowing that God has redeemed me. The entirety of me. My body, my spirit, my soul, everything about me. He has redeemed me and made me His son. And in that, I have an inheritance of all of what God has, just as you, as believers of Jesus Christ, have an inheritance as well. We can be rest assured that God's promises are true. That if God has called me to be His son, then I am indeed His son, and everything that goes along with being a son of a king. I don't have to worry about that. I can rest on His word that I am God's son, just as you are God's son or God's daughter. That's powerful. Because the world out there wants to drag you down and find things and find fault and make you believe, and even Satan does this too, doesn't want you to feel worthy that you can even be in connection with God. And that's not true. Because Scripture tells me it is so. So how do we really even know some more of that? Let's look in Romans 8, 15 through 16 in terms of the assurance that we have. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, which we've just talked about, right? And by Him we cry, Abba, Father, which we just mentioned. But look at this. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So how do we know that we're God's children?
Spirit.
Through the Spirit, who lives
within us.
Because that's the temple that we've asked God to come into during this time of rest that we have. And we are living in God's rest right now. I'll get to that in just a moment. Because when we go back, let me go back to this slide here where it talks about what was the work that was being done, but that Christ redeemed us, right? He did all the work for us to be able to be in direct relationship with God again. So we look at this, and then sometimes, this is the crazy part, because this is what the world will put into your heads, and it really causes a lot of confusion with people. There was a time there in back in the Old Testament where this man, Barak, Jeremiah, it's the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet, so he really speaks what God is telling the people and stuff, and sometimes he talks to individuals. In this case here, he's talking to Barak. A very short section in Scripture about this. But I want you to look at what Barak always says, okay? He says, this is in 45, chapter, verse 2 and 3 of Jeremiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel says to you, Barak. You said, right, this is what Barak says, woe to me! The Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am worn out with groaning and find no rest. Let me ask you a simple question. Who is Barak blaming for his lack of rest? God. See, you put a little more in there. That's awesome, Charles. I think he brought upon himself these troubles and stuff because he wasn't doing what God had asked him to do in terms of following His commands and making it priority one that you love the Lord, your God, with all your strength, all your spirit, all your strength, you know, everything that you got, your soul and all that stuff. You see, when you don't do that, you tend to put blame on somebody. And why not just put blame on the big guy because he should know better? That's what the world wants you to do. Blame God, don't worship Him, take things into your own hands and start laboring like we all are. But you know what? Just like Barak, you start laboring like the world does, you are not going to find rest. And you might labor so much that you are, you know, a millionaire, or we've got billionaires now, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not sure if any of those billionaires are really at rest. They are still laboring to make more money. They're dealing with all types of lawsuits and areas where they're just being hit from one side and hit to the other side. It's like the enemy coming in and everybody wants your money and everybody wants what you've got. And it's like, I'm not sure if there's any rest in that. You know? Sometimes the simple life is the best that we've got that's in there. So we know that there's going to be troubles in this world. But why do we blame God for those Because he says that when you enter his rest, when we don't have to labor and stuff, right? So John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, does this scripture say that Christians, once you accept Lord as Savior, that you'll never have a problem ever again?
No.
You probably will. Thank you, Charles. Charlie, you will have more problems maybe. Because the world is staying over here and you have moved closer to God. And that's farther away from the world. And there's differences between those living for God and those living for themselves. Right? There's a clash that's there. So you're going to find some differences. Plus, you're still going to be exposed to those elements of COVID like we were praying about, and Helen was, you know, for her family. We may have experienced COVID. We have maybe experienced cancer. We may have experienced death. We may have experienced job loss. All those things. And we always, always, always blame God for those things. No. He says, you're going to have troubles in the world, but I've overcome them. Trust me. That I will be there with you while you go through these things. And we're saying, why? God may not answer that. But in those times of trouble, that's where you can really draw close to the Lord. I've seen people push away from the Lord during those times. Draw close to Him. He's there. He's your Father. You are His heir. Why would He not give you what you need during those times? Right? It's what we're looking at. And then we, so that in 1 Corinthians here, chapter 15, verses 58, let's look at this, what we're supposed to do. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, right? Stand firm, not in who I am, but in my relationship with God. He is that rock that I'm standing upon. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So we are to labor in the Lord, stand on that rock, regardless of what's going on out there, and it is hard work. Wait a minute, we're supposed to be in His rest. Well, when you labor for the Lord, you're working hard. Think about Paul in his ministry. Did he ever slow down when he was creating new churches and preaching the gospel? No. Did it bother him that there was a sect of Jews that were trying to kill him all the time? Sure it did. Did that stop him from trying to preach the gospel to those who wanted to hear the gospel? No. Did imprisonment stop him from preaching? No. Those are all troubles of the world, but he stayed planted on that rock. He stood firm. He did not move because he knew the truth. And he held to it. Just as you and I should be holding on to the truths of the Lord. Regardless, even as our body is failing and we have aches and pains and we have problems with it, you can still worship the Lord with a blessed heart. A thankful heart. So this is weird. We already saw this, right? The world says labor doesn't equal rest. But I'm telling you that God says labor equals rest. The difference between those two is what you're laboring for. If you're laboring for material stuff, you'll never have rest. If you're laboring to have a relationship with God, and a close one at that, you will find rest with whatever you're doing. Because God says so. It gives you that peace that passes all understanding. How is it you can have peace when you're dying of cancer? How is it you can have peace when, you know, there's just bombs dropping all over, like in Ukraine and stuff like that? Well, yeah, we protect our family and stuff. But beyond those bombs, there's something greater, and that is God. And that holds us through those trying times, So yeah, we have to work at staying close to God sometimes. We have to work at making sure that we spend time with Him. We have to work that our minds are seeing the things of God, not seeing the things of the world that pollute our minds, right? Things that go through your eye can pollute your mind and then take you away from God. We have to work at those things. See to it that you're following His commands. It doesn't make you legalistic. What it does is it makes you obedient to God. And when the Holy Spirit says go, you go. When the Holy Spirit says stay, you stay. That's laboring for the Lord. In John 14:25 says this, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Right, so when we are questioning, is this really God's Word? Who do we go to? God. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to us. Well, I don't know the Bible enough. I haven't read. You have the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. Well, I'm not educated. I don't have all those doctrines. You don't need that. You have the Holy Spirit. Trust Him. It's as simple as that. Well, I've only been a new Christian. It doesn't matter. You have the Holy Spirit. And then when there's changes that happen within the church or there's changes around you, you say, oh, I feel uncomfortable and everything. But you know what? You feel comfortable because you've got the Lord, and that's more important than the things around you. Right? And we have this. So when He says that He will remind you of everything you said, this is what happens. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. And do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The peace that the world offers is not like the peace that God offers. You know, in Christmas time, right? We ask for peace to come upon this earth. And the world says, oh yeah, no wars. That's what we need to have. No wars. Because that will be peace. That is not what that means. When we want peace to come upon the world, we want God to come upon the world. God is peace. If you're thinking worldly, you will never find that peace. But if you're thinking spiritually, peace is already there because God is already there. And guess what? We don't have to labor for that. We can be at rest. Because God has already done those things for us. We don't have to worry about that at all. The last verse that I've got is this one here. We're going to go right back to the very first one that we started with. For anyone who enters God's rest, also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Right. So God, on the seventh day, did He stop working? No. He's still managing the whole universe. He's managing every cellular thing that's happening in your body. He's managing all the people that have lived, are living now, and will live. And He's also, as Charlie said, answering our prayers. Everyone that prays to Him, He is already committed for His will to be done through that prayer. May not always be what we want it to be, but He is answering it. Why? Because He hears our prayers. So when we get this little aspect over here, so that we can rest, our souls can rest in the work that God has already done. We don't have to do anything to earn our way to heaven. He's already made a way for that by Jesus Christ coming down, dying on the cross, shedding His blood, being that atoning sacrifice for our sin, so that we can have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. You see, that's the rest that we can have. in this time. We're going to stop doing our own work to try to please God. We're going to stop doing our things to make people look and say, oh, look how good I am. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You just need to serve the Lord and everything will come along. We'll have to labor for the Lord and keeping that relationship with God and continue to follow His commands the way He wants us to. That's a lot of work within the rest, knowing that we are secure in our salvation. So when you first read this, it's like, oh, let's just take a holiday for the rest of our lives and whatever. It's not a holiday. However, you can have peace while you're working at being a secretary, at being an engineer, at being an airplane pilot, at being whatever you are. You can have peace and share the gospel because that's who you are. And yes, you will have troubles even being an airplane pilot because some of those flights, you know, the bumpiness that you get in there. And I've seen some of those airplanes come down with crosswinds and stuff, and there's like, is this thing going to land right? And amongst all of that, you can have rest knowing, rest assured, that God is with you even through those times. We have rest. God has given it to us. Take hold of that rest. Use that time right now, because God has done all the work. He's all the prophets and everything leads up to Christ and all the things that He's done. He has made a way for us to be reestablished to God the way Adam and Eve were initially set up with God in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, it looks different. Garden isn't quite the same, but our relationship is the same. And we can have rest with that. Amen? Lord, I thank You for today and I thank You for this word that we have. I pray that You put it into our hearts and that it anchors us to know that we need to labor for You in all the things that we do, but we have rest and peace because of that. This we pray through Your Son, Jesus, and we thank You. Amen.